Welcome back with Randall Kennedy here on the Paula Gordon Show. Since we are at that point, we haven't really talked about what you do believe mm-hmm. and why you believe it. Mm-hmm. And having worked your way through many, many pages of thinking about the societal, it is very important to say what your perspective is on all kinds of intimacy.
I am I'm in favor of people being able to show without embarrassment, without discouragement, without fear, healthy affection, healthy love, healthy friendship. Therefore, I'm against anything that thwarts the display of and the desire of people to, you know, show their affection for others. So I view myself as part of the love camp, the friendship camp, the affection camp. Those are wonderful.
I am
optimistic. I think that Americans of all backgrounds should be able, and I think will be able at some point, to live together in a neighborly fashion without the impediments of arbitrary racial barriers. So I want to create a society where healthy affection can bloom regardless of race.
There is this cultural genocide, as far as it sounds like excessive rhetoric, is a substantive issue to people. And I think about it in the context of African-American women who object because the pool of marriageable men is marriageable black men.
Mm-hmm.
Is a challenge for a variety of reasons. There's also a piece that you don't talk about that we heard about from Walter Massey, who's the president of Morehouse. He used to be head of the National Science Foundation, a physicist, a very smart and capable man, talking about the educational gap that is developing.
Yes.
A major educational gap in all communities, but particularly in the African-American community, where the women are getting more and more and more education, and the men are getting on an absolute basis, not just relatively, but absolutely, less education, which again affects that pool of marriageable within the race.
Yes,
people, and a lot of women say that if we endorse as a culture black men marrying white women, who am I going to marry?
Yes.
Well, and there is an implicit, and
this is personal,
and I won't marry a white man.
Well, a couple things about this. One, this belief again has a long history. The first state in the Union to repeal a provision prohibiting interracial marriage was Massachusetts. It took a number of years. It was finally accomplished in the 1840s. But one interesting thing happened during the fight to repeal the law prohibiting interracial marriage in the United States. There was a petition signed by black women asking the legislature to keep that provision in place. And one of the things they said straightforwardly in their petition, if this provision is removed, we're afraid that there will be numbers of black women, black men, who will marry white women. And where will that leave us? This is in the 19th century. So this fear has long been in place. This is what I say to that fear. I say that there is a real concern. It is absolutely true that there are, first of all, there are just more black women, period. There is this educational gap. So the there is a real basis for the anxiety. But instead of trying to have same race monopolization, I say let's have in a sense, common market for romance. Instead of black women limiting themselves to black men, I say to black women, and I'm married to a black woman. I have a black daughter. I would say to my daughter, I'd say to any black woman, why limit yourself to the black men? Well, black men are, just a small portion of the population of the United States. You're cutting yourself off from a lot of possibilities. So I think that the idea of sort of let's monopolize things, let's just sort of stay within the race, I think that's self-defeating from the point of view of people who want companions. We all want companions. And the best thing to do, at least from my vantage, is to open up companions. matters and have the widest set of possibilities available to you.
You know, I got the feeling reading this and now listening to you, you're just not a racist. What's wrong with you?
I view myself as a person who, I think humans have great potential. I have really been the beneficiary of that potential. I've seen people able to empathize and sympathize and love across racial lines. And I think we'd all be better if we got rid of these arbitrary divisions that keep us apart and did all we could to embrace one another and benefit from all that we have to offer one another.
The counter argument is that there is, you know, putting in the positive counter argument is that there is a black culture, that it is a unique culture, that it is a special culture, and that by diluting it, by pulling people out of it, that culture will either be transformed beyond recognition or will be absolutely lost. One piece.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this, we had this conversation with Cornel West, and I think we ended up agreeing. The other part of that is the presumption in all of this is that if you are black, that is the defining characteristic mm-hmm. in your life. In a different context, it is, if you're female, that is the defining characteristic of your life.
If you are gay.
Short, gay,
if you are
whatever.
Green-eyed.
And I think your position is that anybody gets to choose what is the defining
yes.
characteristic, and that can change.
Yes.
And it can change moment to moment, context to context.
And that both the law and the culture should allow that.
Having laid those predicates.
I'm for fluidity. I'm for self-identification. I am against racial idolatry. I'm against racial authoritarianism. I want people to maximize their imagination. I want people to take advantage of all that's around them in terms of, you know, just human capital, human friendships. All people should take advantage of what's around them. As for this thing about, you know, yes, cultures change. Is there some poignancy in that? Yes, in a way. There's always a poignancy in change. You know, frankly, we're no longer a slave society. Are there certain things that are lost in that? Yes, there are. The gains, however, are greater, and I would say that about change now. By the way, insofar as, you know, black culture, the fact of the matter is Americans are constantly changing. They're a mix. Louis Armstrong, one of my great cultural heroes, he plays a horn. Did the horn come from Africa? Was the horn that he, I mean, he's one of the great giants in American culture, in African American culture. Wasn't what he played a combination of Europe and it was a combination of Africa, it was a combination of Europe, it was a combination of Europe and Africa in America. It was a combination of all sorts of things. And so when we talk about people mixing and matching and learning from one another and all of that, that gumbo, that amalgamation, that is what has made America such an exciting, rich, glorious nation. We oughtn't run away from that. We oughtn't sort of want to freeze that. Rather, we should want to embrace that.
What reading your book, I'm looking at these things and trying to think through it, and the people, it's essentially a very conservative argument that we won't change anything.
It is very, thank you.
And I suspect you've been accused of being a conservative, and some of your colleagues, and I know Orlando Patterson has, of being conservative and a sellout and probably lots of other things. But just, and at some point the labels don't matter, but the this is essentially a static view. The perspective with respect to adoption, particularly, if you assume that nothing changes, then it's a different argument. But if the burden, for example, were to not say what is today, but what is best for the child on a trajectory, then A, it gets much more complicated and much less determinable, but B, it acknowledges the fact that that we are changing and that we are in a very, very, very dynamic environment.
This area is really interesting insofar as racial politics, because some people who view themselves, they will give themselves the label of progressive, are incredibly conservatives. They want to hold on tight as they can to the one-drop rule. So they're against the idea of a multiracial category. They're against the idea of people being able to check many boxes. What they want is, you know, the notion of, well, you can only be one thing and we're going to make you be that one thing and you're not going to have any choice. They like the idea of, well, we're used to black people marrying other black people, and that's the way we're going to have it. They don't like the idea of change. They don't like the idea of multiplicity, of fluidity. And so I find a very interesting sort of flip where there's some people who are viewed politically as conservative who I think actually are very progressive. They don't mind the rainbow family. They're all in favor of it. Then you have people who view themselves as progressive who in this area are totally static and backward looking. So in that sense, it's an area, this question of interracial intimacy, a lot of the political labels that we're used to, in my view, are completely backwards.
Well, maybe it also gives us a place we can practice on being more able to deal in a time, forgive my saying, of great change. I say that a lot. Randall Kennedy is our guest here on The Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell is here. I am here. I'm Paula Gordon. I hope you are here when we return in a moment.